I'd like to greet you this morning with the words of Galatians 1, verse 3, where we read, "Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen." I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to each of you that have come to worship this morning, and if there's guests, we are excited to have you. Heartily welcome. This morning's message I've entitled, Bearing Fruit. You know, as the summer has passed by so quickly, you know, in spring, many of us seeded gardens or farmers sowed their fields. We've had fruit trees bearing fruit. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, the last part of the verse, Jesus said, "The tree is known by his fruit." So today, I want to encourage us and challenge us, how are you known by those that watch you? Let us pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace and we thank you, Lord, for the dawn of a beautiful new day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather in your house, to sing your praises, to worship you, to fellowship with you, to fellowship with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Lord, you know each one that is gathered here on a personal basis. And I pray, Lord, that you'll touch them through your word, through your spirit. I pray, Lord, that if there's needs in anyone's individual life, that you will provide them, whether it's physical healing, whether it's emotional stress or discouragement that they're coping with. Lift them up. May they feel your presence. May you encourage them. Lord, we pray for the lost, those that have not accepted you as Lord and Savior, that they will have an encounter with you, that they will meet up with a Christian, one of us, that we may be an encouragement to them, that we may take the opportunity when it is presented to us to be the instrument that you use to lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look into your word this morning, may you speak to us. May you remind us of on our own, we can do nothing, but with you in our lives, we can bear spiritual fruit. Lord, empower myself. And Lord, plant a hedge of protection around us as we worship you. Ward off Satan and his evil forces that so often want to discourage and distract us. Lord, we commit this service to you. We want to honor and glorify you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This time we have some congregational singing, please.
Number 387 in the blue hymnal, Have Thine Own Way. And I invite you to stand.
Have Thine Own Way, Lord, have Thine Own Way. Absolute sway. Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
Number 505, Footprints of Jesus.
Lord, have we heard thee calling, come follow me, and we see where thy footprints fall in me, thus to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway go.
Number 483, He the Pearly Gates Will Open.
The divine so great and wondrous, deep and mighty verse of love, from the heart of Jesus, just the same through the test of time. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Like a dove when hunted, frightened, as a wounded fawn was I. purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. Love divine, so great and wondrous, all my sins he then forgave. I will sing his praise forever, for his blood is power to save. Pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sin. In life's eventide at twilight, at his door I'll knock and wait. Shall enter heaven's gate. He the pearly gates will open, so that I may enter in. For he purchased my redemption and forgave me all my sins.
Thank you for that beautiful selection of songs. I'm not sure about you, but I know for myself, many songs bring different memories. And the first song that you sang, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, took me back quite a number of years. You know, as a single individual, I almost had said I had a back seat full of 8-track tapes in my car. And I remember this one 8-track that it was a country tape. They were called the Blue Ridge Rangers, and they had one song in there, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And I remember back at 16 or 17 years old, that song touched my heart. Then later, after I was married, I was 27 years old back in 1990, we had announced in our church that there would be an election for a deacon and for a pastor. I remember very clearly how the Holy Spirit just touched my heart, and I struggled with the fact of that election. I struggled with the thought of having to stand behind a pulpit and preaching to people. I was very reserved. I was a shy individual. And I remember on the way to the election, listening to that song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, and singing along quite heartily. You know, in God, in his mercy, he elected me as a deacon. That was February 7th, 1990, and gave me some, you might say, opportunity to gain some experience. And then short 5 years later, I was elected into the ministry as a pastor. But, you know, God has been good. As one reflects back, you know, a young married man, a very young family, and how God provided for us. Close friends that took our children to their Sunday school, and how God has always been there for us. Was it always easy? No, it wasn't. But looking back, God has always been faithful. I remember very clearly beautiful summer evenings sitting behind my desk. House didn't have air conditioning, and the window open. I heard Kathy working in the yard. I'd hear the children playing outside. And here I was trying to concentrate and prepare a message for a Sunday morning service. You know, this is not to be a sob story, but God always provided. And I want to encourage you, if the Lord is calling you, it might not be as a pastor or a deacon, but in other service to him, give yourself. It is part of bearing fruit for the Lord, part of showing our love for him by being obedient, and for he gave us the best gift we could ever imagine, that was salvation, so full and so free. But coming back to our message this morning, as an opening scripture passage, I'd like to turn to the book of John chapter 15. I'd like to read the first 8 verses. The words of Jesus, where he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." As we read through this passage, Jesus often used analogies or stories to help people to understand what he is in your life and in my life, and what he himself is in a relationship, we might say, to his heavenly Father. Even though Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three are one, yet they each had a very unique purpose in this life and in our life. And he refers to himself as being the true vine, and his heavenly Father is the husbandman, or the one that cares for the vineyard. And he talks about being attached or grafted into him, and we do that by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then he says, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, it will be taken away. But the branch that bears fruit, he says, he purges it. You know, probably none of us want difficulties in life. And yet very often the difficult times are maybe times of the Lord purging us or pruning us so that we can bring forth more fruit. And then in verse 4, he talks about abiding in him. In other words, staying strong, remaining attached to him, loving him, we might say. And he says the branch can't bear fruit of itself. And we know, for those of us that have had maybe experience with pruning a tree, once you cut the branch, you know, it dries up, the leaves shrivel up, and we burn it. It is worth nothing. There is no, we might say, living juices flowing into that branch so that it will ever again bear any fruit. You know, and if we, through willful sin in our lives, turn our back on the Lord, it is like a branch that is broken off the tree. It withers and it dies. So you and I, spiritually, wither. The spiritual life within us dies. So it is important to remain attached. And it might not always be easy, but the Lord will be there for us. And again, in verse 5, he just reiterates, "I am the vine, you are the branches." But the last part of verse 5, he reminds us, "For without me, you can do nothing." You know, nothing. That seems like a strong statement. You know, very often our tendency is to try to go it on our own. I can do this. You know, just look at a young child. That nature is there very early in their childhood. I want to do it myself. You know, and that is a good drive to have for a child because it helps him or her to become, we might say, self-sufficient. You know, the first time they try feeding themselves, they might have food all over their face and all over the table, on the chair and on the floor. It is a mess, but that is a learning process. You know, in our spiritual life, we are sometimes like that child too. You know, we mess things up really bad, but the Lord, he's there to spiritually wipe our face, clean up around us, and to help us to become stronger, and we might call it more self-sufficient. But when I say more self-sufficient, not in that we do things on our own, but that we trust wholeheartedly that the Lord will guide and be with us at all times. And he promises in verse 7, if you abide in him, you can ask what you want, and the Lord will help you. And we glorify God in verse 8 when we bear fruit for him. And a little later, we'll see that we won't always all bear the same amount of fruit. You know, we might have our ways of measuring how fruitful an individual is, but all the Lord requires is for us to bear fruit. It is not about how much. Then I'd like to go back all the way into the Old Testament to the very first book of the Psalm, Psalm chapter 1. You know, it talks about blessed is the man, or blessed is the person, you know, referring to each of us individually. You know, and this is part of the fruit bearing in our lives. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, if we keep ourselves away from sin, we are a blessed person. And he says, but this person that keeps him or herself away from willfully living in sin, his or her delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You know, when we think of meditation, very often our first thing in our mind is separating ourselves, spending time in God's word, spending time in prayer, which is appropriate. It should be a part of our life to meditate in God's word. But in the context this is written, we are in God's word 24 hours a day. Yes, when we sleep, we're not conscious about it, but throughout our day, as we make decisions, they reflect the Lord's Spirit within us. And a person that does this, he says in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, if a tree is planted to a close to a good water source, and as it says here, close to a river, you know, there might be drought around this tree, but when it throws down its roots and it latches onto the source of water, it can still produce fruit, even though things around them might be barren and fruitless and dry and withered. And likewise, you and I, as Christians, we are in a world that is spiritually barren. We are in a world where there's many people around us that are spiritually dry. You know, right in the area where we live might sometimes be referred to as the Bible Belt. But let's never allow that to discourage us or to make us proud or whatever it might cause for an emotion in our lives. Let us be that light, that example to those around us. Years ago, I read a statistic in North America, about 6% of the people are Christians. So we are like that tree planted close to a good water source. We bear fruit, even though it might be fruitless around us. But then he just contrasts this in verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, at the time when this was written, harvesting was done in a much different fashion than today. But in today's world, if you watch a combine going down the field, the chaff is the stuff that comes out the back end. It is good for nothing other than to be worked into the ground, and hopefully it'll decay, and the soil bed will be ready for a crop again next year. But he says, that is what a non-Christian is like. It's like the chaff that the wind blows away. It has no spiritual value. And then he says in verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And we know for the ungodly, for the non-Christian, there is only one, we might say, life hereafter, and that is in hell. You know, and when we stop and ponder that for just a moment, that should really encourage us to reach out to the lost. And verse 6 says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall not perish. You know, take encouragement, for sometimes when we serve the Lord, we might sometimes sort of wonder, what value does this have? We might get discouraged. We might get maybe depressed. People aren't responding to our loving on them. They aren't responding maybe the way we would expect them to. But the Lord knows. The Lord will reward. The Lord understands. And people still have the free will to make choices. It is not about us to be concerned about the labors of our, or the fruit of our labors, but to be concerned about bringing forth the gospel. In the book of Micah, in chapter 3, the first part of verse 8, just again reminds us where the writer says, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord." You know, if the Lord's Spirit lives within you, you are mighty, you're powerful, and you don't go with this on your own. And then the book of Philippians in chapter 4, the Apostle Paul also recognized, and I'm sure we all do as well, in chapter 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You know, sometimes we might get a little caught up with, what if my coworker or my neighbor asks me questions? Why do I do certain things? Why don't I do other things? Why do I go to church on a Sunday morning? And the list could go on. And we might sort of get worried about, how will I respond? Remember, don't worry about it. You can do it through the Lord's strength. He will give you the right response, the appropriate words at the right time. He will empower you. He will help you, whatever your circumstances might be. And then in the book of Matthew, in chapter 13, and in verse 23, and here the setting is such where Jesus had just shared a story or a parable of the sower or the farmer that was sowing his seed. And the seeding practices back then, again, were so different from today. And the little I've learned about how a farmer would sow his seed, he would have a bag under one arm and then reach in with the other hand and throw the seed out. And, you know, as Jesus unfolded this story, he talked about the different types of soil the seed fell on. You know, some fell on the walkway where people walked, or the road, and it was walked on and it never germinated. Others fell on shallow soil where there's a lot of rocks underneath. It's germinated, and then when the heat of the sun came, it withered and it died. But then he also talked about seed falling in good soil and bringing forth fruit. And in verse 23, after Jesus had been questioned and he was explaining this parable, in 23 he says, "But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, also which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So what we see from here, when you and I love on others, they will not all respond in the same way. And we might not all have opportunity to bring forth 100-fold, but some might be 60, some might be 30. But the Lord wants us to be this farmer that spreads out the seed, to be the Christian that shares the love of Jesus with those around you, to be the one that is spreading the word. And we might not always use a lot of words. It's the way we react, the way we live our life that can be a witness to others. But we should not just take comfort in saying, well, others can watch me and then they'll see Jesus. Sometimes words are necessary. And when they question us, we should be willing to share the love of Jesus with them. But a little more personally, in the book of James, in chapter 1, the writer James tells us to also look at ourselves. What kind of seed are we actually sowing? In James chapter 1 and verse 22 to verse 25, we read, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, if we, at the end of a day's work, and depending on the type of work we do, and we walk into the bathroom at the end of the day and look into the mirror and see our face is grimy and sweaty and dirty, and we just basically turn around and walk away, that doesn't clean up our face. And likewise, spiritually, when we look into God's word or when we come to a church service on a Sunday morning and we hear the word and we just simply walk out and we sort of maybe covered our conscience a bit and we've been to church because that's what we've been taught to do, but we don't apply God's word to us, that's like looking in a mirror and doing nothing about the mess that we see. You know, it is important that when we hear God's word, that we wash away the sin, we might say. Jesus, he provides the washing. He provides the cleansing. And likewise, when we look in a mirror and do nothing about it, why even bother looking in the mirror? You know, if you're just going to come to church to cover your conscience because this is what mom and dad taught me to do, and the other 6.5 days of the week you do your own thing and don't live the Christian life, you know, what good is it? Apply it to your life is really what the encouragement is. Listen to God's word. Let it work into the depths of your heart. Live it out from the heart that God will be honored and glorified. And the question that we might ask is, are we reflecting the love of Jesus to those around us? You know, like the moon and the sun. The moon on its own doesn't have any light, but the moon reflects the light of the sun. You know, and when the sun sets at the end of the day, we see the moon. And in a spiritual life, we are the moon reflecting the Son of God, Jesus's love to those around us. What are we reflecting is a question that each one has to answer for him or herself. In the book of Galatians, it gives us some examples of what we are to reflect to those around us. The type of seed that we're supposed to sow or the type of fruit that we're supposed to bear. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, probably familiar verses to many of you, where it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. No, were these fruits of the Spirit listed in a particular order for a reason? I'm not totally sure. But to my thinking, when we read that the first fruit of the Spirit is love, that is a Christ-like love. Loving Christ is number one. Loving those around us follows that immediately. And then if we have love, that also brings joy. You know, without love, there isn't true joy. Without love, there's basically what we might call happiness. And happiness is dependent on the things that happen to us. When things go well, things sort of go the way we like them to go, we might simply be happy. But joy isn't depending on what happens to us. Joy is a result of a love for Jesus Christ. Joy is radiated out of our heart even when we are in difficult times. And then when we have the Christ-like love, we have the joy, it brings us peace. That is the next fruit of the Spirit. And peace is something that is often beyond explanation. But peace is something that others see within us. Peace is something that we can have despite of difficult times. I'll just relate, and I don't want to belabor it, but this last November, our daughter had COVID, and medically speaking, she should not be with us today. She was in the hospital a full month, 15 days sedated, intubated, and things looked bleak. She had double lung infection. She had a clot in one of her lungs. She was septic, you know, medically, no way that she should have survived. But you were probably part of the church family that prayed. Many others prayed. We prayed earnestly. And I have to say, even though it was difficult to watch, difficult to know what the outcome would be, there was a peace in the depths of our hearts. A peace knowing that either way, whether she would survive or whether she would pass on to her eternal home in glory, we knew God would be with us. He would be with her husband. He would be with her three young children. God would provide. Today, looking back, we just continually see God's miracle in her life. She is home, she is strong, she is well, and we praise God. But so often, again, we're to a point where we sometimes also take things for granted. We have to remind ourselves to praise God, and that God provides peace through difficult circumstances is something I can attest to personally. And when we have this spirit of love and of joy and of peace, the next word here is long-suffering, or it makes us a patient individual. We're patient with those that maybe sometimes try our nerves. We're patient with those that don't respond to us loving on them. We're patient with those that maybe ridicule us. And that takes us to the next word. We become a gentle person. We don't react the way the world might expect us to react. And as these things take control of our lives, we are a good individual. We are a faithful individual. Meekness or humbleness are two words that go hand in hand. We aren't proud, but we give God the honor and the glory for what he enables us to be and to do. We are temperate. We aren't on a high one day and an extremely low a few hours later. But we're temperate. More in the boat world where they call it an even keel. We remain level-headed, even though circumstances aren't always the way we want it to be. And then verse 23 closes, against such there is no law. You know, if the fruits of the Spirit are a part of our lives, we don't need to fear breaking any laws around us. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 3, in verse 16 and in verse 19, or 16 to 19, we read, this was the prayer that Paul had for the church of Ephesus. This would be a desire that we as ministerial would have for you as a church, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, that is our desire as pastoral leaders in our congregations, that you as a church will grow, that we ourselves will grow, and that Christ will be the leader of us at all times. Also in the book of Philippians, in chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, that is a confidence we all have. You know, that as a Christian, Jesus isn't going to say, okay, now you go and do it on your own. He will be with us. He has begun a good work, and he will help us until the day that we take our last breath on this side of heaven. And then in closing, I'd like to turn to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5 to verse 8. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we be the church that bears fruit for Jesus, is my desire and prayer for all of us. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace at the close of our service, and we thank you, Lord, for the clarity of your word. We thank you, Lord, for empowering us to be fruitful. And Lord, may the fruit we bear bring honor and glory to your holy name. Lord, touch each heart as they go forth from here. Bless them that in turn they will be a blessing to those that they meet in their life, whether at work, at home, in school, in their community, Lord. May we be a shining example for you. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. For any other concerns that are in your hearts this morning, remember we can come before God's throne of grace at any time, wherever we are. And for those that are able, let us kneel for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen.
Good morning. I just have two announcements here. One is that on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, we will have a barbecue supper at the John Amir Schrader's place for all those that have attended Bible study in the last year. The plan is that supper will start at 7, and we would invite all those that haven't attended Bible study to bring something to barbecue there, and then we'll have a supper and a fellowship night there. And the other thing is on October 8th, there will be a barbecue in Winnipeg for the UGM for the homeless there, and there is now a sign-up sheet in the back there. Whoever wants to volunteer there for that Saturday, you can sign up in the back there, and then Willie will, I guess, contact you once it's close to that date. Thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you, Jake. We've come to the conclusion of our service this morning. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your prayer support, and may God bless you for that. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may now go in the peace of our Lord.